God, I think I'm growling louder right now because I'm in charge.
Oh,
oh no, no, Kurt got me there. Ramona Shelburne, Kirk Morrison in here for Mason in Ireland today, joining you on this Thursday. And Kirk, I don't know if you were up early for this. What was that, like breakfast at Disney World with the Lakers this morning and the Kings? They were trying to get the Kings out of there as soon as possible. The Lakers obliged by rolling over, not playing their guys, handing them a win to go on their merry way as they leave the bubble. In case you missed the game, here's John Ireland summing it all up.
All the way, left-hand reverse layup. Good. Nice shot by the 19-year-old Laker rookie. Getting his first real NBA playing time. I mentioned this at the start of the show. Talen Horton-Tucker is the youngest player in all of the NBA. Now he steals it. Horton-Tucker comes up with a steal, and he's trying to get it to one of his teammates. He does. They get it a ball ahead to Deion Waiters. Waiters to the rim, lays it up and in. But Tucker's only 19, Michael. He doesn't turn 20
until November.
All right, that was it, Kirk. That's what you missed. Talen Horton-Tucker had a nice game. Deion Waiters had a nice game, and the Lakers just, you know, played it. Nobody got hurt. Everybody's fine. Sacramento won it 136-122. And now we are finally to the games that count. Now we are to the games that the whole season will be defined by, and we're getting a better picture of who the Lakers might play in that opening round game because the Memphis Grizzlies look like they are going to beat the Bucks. They're up 93-74 heading into the fourth. The Suns are doing their part. They're winning. But if Memphis wins, they are in. The only other way that it's not Memphis against Portland in the 8-9 game is if Portland loses later on tonight. So it's looking like it's going to be Memphis, Portland in the 8-9 game. The winner of that, I think it's going to be Portland, plays the Lakers in the first round, we think, on Tuesday. What do you think?
What am I thinking? I'm thinking the same thing. I think Portland right now is a team that I'm watching and I'm excited about because I think that they've gotten healthy at the right time. And then, look, Dame Lillard told us the other night, I'm here for a reason. I'm not here to mess around. I'm here to come out here and win. Why not win it all, pretty much? Ramona, I'm excited for this reason alone, because I came in and I didn't know how I was going to feel about the bubble. I didn't know how I was going to feel about the 8 games. And for me, just on a random Thursday in August to have this many playoff implications today, I thought it was fantastic. Even if you're not watching the games, you're checking the score because you want to see who's going to be the 8 seed, who's going to be the 9 seed. Oh, how's Memphis doing? Are they going to win? Or what about, Devin Booker and how he's been playing? And to me, it's kind of similar to the NFL in week 17 where everybody's trying to jockeying for position a little bit. But it's more so about who's going to get in and who's get the number 1 seed. But for this, we already kind of know the seedings at the top. But it's about a team that may get in at the 8th spot. And for me, Ramona, whatever team gets in, I'll say this. They are not an 8 seed, right? That's for more reason why I'm watching, because I'm not watching a true 8th seed in the Western Conference. I'm watching a team that may be gelling at the right time, that are now in a bubble in which there is no home court advantage, and that you honestly feel that you've got a real legitimate shot in the first round against going up against the Lakers. Not saying that you'll win, but I'm saying you feel like, hey, the odds may not be in our favor, but I feel more comfortable playing in these conditions. So I was just happy that Thursday in the NBA restart, there was something to watch, and there's something still to watch as we continue throughout this program and later tonight with the Portland Trailblazers.
Yeah, I mean, I found myself last night. This is how you know that you have ESPN loop, okay? You know when you're watching ESPN and the replay of some game that they showed 6 hours ago is on, and you're like, you've already seen it, you know who wins, but then you're just like, oh, let me watch the end of that Raptors-Sixers game again. I already know who wins. Like, I already know. And it was a bunch of bench guys playing against bench guys, but like that's what this would have been. Like it was an interesting game. It was fun to watch because the benches were going at it. But like these last 4 games here, this Thursday, every single game matters. And I think the NBA, outside of Zion being in one of these games, it got everything they asked for out of this adding the extra teams in and playing for the 8-9 seed. But the question is, these teams that have already been in playoff mode, You see this happen in baseball when the two wild card teams play. Whoever wins that game is a more dangerous opponent coming into the next series, where the division leaders have had that time off. You see it in football, where sometimes the wild card is the team that's gotten hot. Like, the Lakers have just been there. They've just kind of been practicing and trying things out and not really been in playoff mode. I mean, LeBron James, when he was asked about that the other day, he said, "We're not even really in playoff mode." Funch, do you have that?
Me personally, as far as mentally, I'm not in playoff mode. Physically, I'm getting there. I feel like my legs are gotten better and better. My game has improved more and more. I'm getting more and more comfortable with the bubble. But as far as the mental side of it, I'm not there personally. I don't think our team is there personally, but we will be. It's a different type of mindset that you have to be in. But you don't want to jump into it before you actually get there, because it takes a lot of energy, a lot of effort.
I mean, I know what he's saying, Kirk. Like, mm-hmm. It takes so much effort to play at that high level. You can't be on 10 all the time. Like, you can't, if we're going 1 to 10, you can't be on 10 the entire time, or you'll run out of gas. That mental strain, as much as the physical strain, is going to get you. But you're playing a team, whenever this playoffs gets started on Tuesday, and whoever you end up playing, that's been on 10 since they hit the bubble.
Yeah, he's going to have to ramp it up pretty quickly. And all it takes is one game within the playoffs for him in that first round to realize, it gets real, very real, right? Because I watched this a couple months ago, Ramona, earlier this year, mm-hmm. in January, the Baltimore Ravens were 14-2, the best record in the National Football League, with the MVP on their team, by the way, guy by the name of Lamar Jackson. They had the number one seed in the NFL, right? And then there was this little team, they had beaten New England the week before, but people were like, whatever. But the Tennessee Titans, they come in with a guy named Derrick Henry, kind of reminding me a little bit of Damian Lillard, a guy who was not necessarily unstoppable, but you can see he was a man on a mission the latter part of the season and the early part of the postseason. And so now you got a team that's coming in with nothing to lose, right, if it is Portland. I think we all assume it's going to be Portland. Who knows? Whatever may happen. But whether it's an 8 or 9 seed, whoever it may be, they're coming in and they feel like, we can just grab a game or two. We'll feel a lot comfortable because now we can put the Lakers on their heels, right? LeBron is going to have to figure it out fairly quickly, because I'm not so sure, Ramona, we even know what that final group looks like in the final 3 minutes, right? We've seen a couple of different looks. You know, the Kuzma game winner was great, because now you kind of got a piece of it. Like, okay, the Lakers can end in this group and have these guys on the floor. But that was during a regular season. It's going to be a little bit different. Matchups are going to be different now, no matter who you go up against. And so for LeBron James, everyone on that team is going to feed off number 23's energy. So if you're not feeling it, Bron, I'm going to know as a teammate of yours, Bron ain't really feeling it. But if you show me that you're engaged, you show me that you're ready to ramp it up, whether it's by your actions, it's how you warm up for the game, it's how you mentally check in and check out. Like, everybody's going to feed off of LeBron's energy. And if he's bringing it, I'm telling you, everybody else brings it, Ramona. I know it. So he's got to say, hey, well, I'm not there yet. Well, you find you got to get there as soon as possible, because I think the rest of the guys in this bubble – that's what gives everybody, I think, sort of a level playing field.
Well, and honestly, that is how it's been all year for the Lakers. LeBron plays defense this year. LeBron is locked in this year. LeBron doesn't take off games to rest nagging injuries. Like, if he can play, he's going to play. And that set the tone for everybody else, because if you have a little ding on your shoulder or a little calf injury, whatever, hey, Bron's playing through it. I'm going to play through it. And I think we've all been in such a, I know I have, like, I don't know where are you right now? Like, I'm literally sitting in my bedroom. We have to close the drapes in my bedroom because my son will be playing outdoors. And if he sees me outdoors, he'll want to come in. Uh-huh. Yeah. So like, I'm sitting in my bedroom with the windows closed and the drapes closed doing a radio show. It's not the same as being in studio, right? We got to make it feel the same. We got to play the music and do the sound and all that fun stuff, but it doesn't necessarily feel the same as it's always felt when you do, when the red light comes on and you know that you're on air and ready to roll. And so you and I've had time to adjust because I've been doing shows, you've been doing shows. It's different. It's not going to be the same as we used to experience it, but we're there. That's kind of what the Lakers have been feeling, right? I think they've had 8 games to get it going. LeBron, I mean, you're still adjusting to this weird virtual fan thing and the cardboard cutouts where you can tell there's nobody else that's really there. But right. You know what we see on TV is a pretty good broadcast experience. Like it feels like a game. It feels like there's sights and sounds and piped in crowd noise. Everybody I've talked to in the bubble says you can hear everything on the court. Like it's kind of like a practice summer league game where you can hear the trash talk, you can hear what they're saying. It's not the same feel as a regular game, and some players need that. Like some players need it to feel like it's always felt, like the juice of that crowd, the endorphins that you get from that. And you know, you've had 8 games to get used to the new reality of this.
Right.
Whether you like it or not, that time is upon you.
You got to feel it now. You know what it is. You know what you have to draw from within. You got to psych yourself up a little bit. You better get your music right. You better get some Phil Collins in the air tonight. Whatever whatever you listening to, you better turn that thing on 10 and make sure it's blasting, because you got to take yourself now to another level. And this is one of the reasons you're called a professional. Right, the professional athlete for a reason. Like some people was like, oh man, that coach should be ashamed, he couldn't get his players ready to play. No, it's not the coaches. Not the coach is not supposed to get you ready to play. You're a professional, you're supposed to be ready to play. You got to understand that it's going to be different, right? You understand now what the sidelines is going to be like. You understand what the bubble games feel like. You've had time to adjust. There was no excuses now, because guess what? Everybody's playing in it. It's not just you, like, oh man, we gotta. No, everybody's playing in it. So you've all had to adjust. And now, like I said before, it's now the chemistry of the team, right? Who are you putting on for? That's what I'm saying. And maybe it could be a little bit of added motivation, right? Having some guests now who are maybe available to come watch you play, right? Maybe it could be a situation in which, you incentivizing yourself in different ways. Like there are some things now, Ramona, that when the playoffs start on Tuesday, that players have to find and hit that switch, because it will be different, right? This ain't the playoffs in which you mentioned with the home crowd. I think this is a playoff of pride, right? Because the only people that's going to be there really is your teammates. And I'm telling you, the teammate self, like reward that you get, man, it's special, right? I mean, I remember just for me playing in the National Football League, and yeah, it's great when people outside of the team pat you on the back, Ramona, and say, hey, job well done, Kirk. But man, you talk about winning an award given to you by your teammates, or hitting that game winning shot and your coach is, you know, calling you up and showing it on the video board, say, hey fellas, let's just make sure we give our guy his proper due, man. This guy made a great basket today. And to get that, you know, that gratification, man, that, from your teammates, it's something special. It really is. And I think that's what the guys are going to need more, right? And the reason why I'm saying it is I think it was what I saw with Kyle Kuzma the other day with the hitting that shot and what everybody kept saying, like, that was huge for Kuz. That was huge for Kuz, because they realized some guys are going to need some confidence-building moments within this. Because just as much as you can be great, you can also shrink in these moments. It may be too big for you now, okay? Because if you start messing up, you can't go, you know, go run home and go hang out and cry on mom's shoulder, right? Your girlfriend, wife's shoulder, no more, uh-uh. You know, the only person you can lean on, Ramona, in the bubble is who? Your teammates. That's it.
Well, Frank Vogel, after today's game against the Kings, which dropped the Lakers to 3-5 in the bubble, was asked, did the team get what it needed out of these 8 games?
You know, you always, as a coach, you always want more time to get, you know, more of your system hyped up and more guys opportunities to get familiar with your system, with each other. You know, there's a continuity element, you with coaches that, you know, if you have a core group that's been together with a coaching staff that's been together in the system, you have a little bit of an advantage. And you know, for us, you know, we're all new to each other this year. So, you know, I always feel like there's more that we can get accomplished and improve upon. But, you know, with the circumstances of the pandemic and, you know, restarting in a bubble and all those types of things, you know, I think it's time to – I think this is the appropriate amount of games to get ready.
Better be. Better be.
No excuses.
Hey, so, Kirk, coming up after this, Rachel Nichols, host of The Jump, who is out in Orlando, Florida, watching all these games, doing sidelines on a lot of them, is going to join us, talk about tonight's game between the Portland Trailblazers, where if they win that game, they are the 8 seed. If Memphis holds on to the game that they're playing right now against the Bucks, which it looks like they will, they've got a 20-point lead, it'll be Portland and Memphis in the 8-9 game this weekend. Rachel Nichols, host of The Jump, coming up next. Ramona Shelburne, Kirk Morrison, in for Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Hey, Lens, did we get shortchanged here? Did, like, Chris not do a special intro for us today?
Nope.
Mm-mm. He didn't.
What's up with that?
Get on him about that. He's usually really good with that, especially when you're
I know.
He's making his 37th Keyshawn Johnson promo right now. Let Chris be, okay? He needs the Keyshawn Johnson promo.
Kirk, this is our time to shine. I need Chris to help us shine. Like, what's going on here? Mason and Ireland are like, oh, Ireland's off to vacation in Idaho. Mason is taking another pandemic vacation wherever he goes. I don't know what he's probably just home eating donuts or something. But, like, yeah, they got their new time spot next week. They're all excited about it. These last shows, I guess they're just mailing it in. They're sort of like the Bucks today, just rolling over so the Grizzlies can make it. The Lakers, where they played the first half. But, like, hey, I'm here. You're here. Come on, Chris.
Yeah,
come on,
got some work in. Put some work in, man. School doesn't start till Monday. At least finish it up first.
That's right.
Finish this week
up first.
That's right.
Finish strong. coming up next, we got Rachel Nichols, host of The Jump, is going to join us from Orlando. Ramona Shelburne, Kirk Morrison, in for Mason in Ireland. Kirk, it's time now. It's like the 8 games are over. Tune-ups over. Preseason's over. Whatever you want to call it. The Lakers have a 3-5 record in those games. We got to see a little Talen Horton Tucker. We got to see a little Dion Waiters, a little J.R. Smith. But it's like, this is it. Like, the time for experimentation is over. And I don't know that I've seen that much good play to say, yeah, the Lakers can flip the switch right now.
Yeah, I think the bubble in the beginning for us, we knew kind of going in that the Lakers were going to be the one seed. Even if they dropped a game or two, all they had to do was really win one game or two games, I believe, and they were lock up the one seed. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, they locked up the one seed. They locked up the one seed. I'm like, what does that truly mean in the bubble? Right? I think that was just more for if you want to hang banners over in the Staples or something. You know what I mean? Like, oh, Lakers, Western Conference number one seed. That was what it was really. You know, people made it a big deal. But for me, these 8 games were trying to, for me, find a nucleus, find a chemistry, find a roster, find your players, find your guys. There was no Avery Bradley in here. There was no Rajon Rondo at the moment, right? You are acclimating Dion Waiters and J.R. Smith to the bubble, right? You're acclimating new players, and you're trying to figure out, we know we're going to need more than LeBron and Anthony Davis. We know we're going to need more. And so, to me, I thought in these 8 games, the Lakers didn't play particularly well. I know they beat the Clippers in game 1, and people were like, oh, anoint them. But then they came right back, and we saw a team that I think is just as dangerous in Toronto beat them the next game. And it was like, whoa, let's put that pause button now. The Lakers are very talented at the top, right? I mean, that's LeBron and AD.
Mm-hmm.
But we all question about who is the next, who are the next guys, who are 3 through 5 that can consistently play well, that consistently you know what you're going to get. Whether it's that we look at some other teams, you kind of understand what it's going to be like. With the Lakers, that's the scary part with me, Ramona, is that every night it's going to be different because Frank Vogel told me so. It's going to be different. We don't know what it's going to be. But if it's going to be different, how consistent can that different be, though, if that makes sense?
Yeah.
Like, well, how consistent can that be in terms of we don't know who it's going to be tonight, but we can't wait to see who it is. Like, I don't know, because you're sitting around – and if you don't know what that role is for you, then it's like, what do I do? I'm just playing. Hopefully, wait, you play hot potato. Yeah, get the ball away from me. Mm-hmm. No, you do it. You do it. You do it. And I think that's what the playoffs may show me in the early stages of the playoffs.
Yeah, I think, you know, the Lakers knew that 4 months ago. They had that groove. They had that feeling of the who's in the right, you know, of what their rotations need to be and should be. But it just takes a minute to get your groove back. And I think these 8 games have given everyone some time to get their legs. We had Dave McMenamin on the other day, and he was talking about Anthony Davis and why a couple of nights he looks awesome, you know, MVP candidate, and other nights, like against Indiana, he was just settling for jumpers, didn't seem to be aggressive, you know, was mostly shooting from outside the paint. And Dave said, yeah, he talked to somebody on the team. He said, he just kind of had dead legs. Like, he was tired because they're playing every day and they're just getting their legs back. And it kind of reminded me, like, oh yeah, that's right. It's really different playing games than it is just having some 5-on-5 practices. And this really was a preseason. So I'm willing to give them a little credit. I'm willing to say, you've earned the right to say we were coasting these 8 games. Once we quench the 1 seed, it's cool. But what's different about this year is that LeBron James has been in the playoffs before. He's been to the finals more than anyone in our recent generation. He's never been in a playoffs like this. And somebody who will be watching this right now, live and in person, Rachel Nichols, host of the Jump, joins us now. Rachel, how are you doing? What's going on?
No, just living a little bubble life here, Ramona.
Well, last time I saw you virtually, I mean, I more heard you than saw you. You were getting just drenched by a thunderstorm rolling through Orlando. Is that what it's like there every day?
Around here, you know, I lived in Florida my first year out of college, so I'm familiar with the 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock thunderstorm that hits Florida at this time of year. But it is still always an adventure. And, you know, just another fun part of life in the bubble. Can't complain, though. Things have been really, really smooth down here. And it is just crazy when you think about it. I heard you guys talking when I was patched in about, you know, the playoffs as if it was the regular playoffs. Hey, this is how LeBron's going to be facing a playoff series. The fact that we're able even to do that, it's just, I don't know, it doesn't stop. I don't stop taking a minute every day at some point and being like, this is pretty incredible.
You know, I've actually been having that same thought, like, I can't believe they pulled this off. Like, in the amount of, I know that there were endless stories about what they should do and how many teams, and there were some teams that thought there were too many teams, too few teams. But now that you're there and we've seen how all these games have unfolded, we're getting ready for players' families to be there, and it's close enough now that they can look forward to it. Like, how in the world did that all come together? Like, you're living and breathing it. I know you had to go through a long quarantine, but what type of effort did it take to bring all this together?
Yeah, it's pretty crazy the level of detail, because you think that every decision they made beget 10 more questions that needed their own decisions.
Yep.
And then that began 10 more questions. So even something like you were just talking about, like, what's the format going to be? Well, okay, once they decide that, who's invited? Well, who's invited? How do we decide? And then who's going to make the playoffs? And how do you balance the schedule to make it fair? And then how do you work the schedule on who's going to play which day? Because right now we have these playing games scenarios tonight that are in play, and they schedule Portland for the final game of the evening so that the stakes could all come down to the team that controlled its own destiny. There's just so many details, and that's just one category. Player health and safety is, of course, a huge category. There's probably 1,000 decisions that had to get made there and then carried out. So It's just so specific. It takes a tremendous amount of effort. I understand why grappling with that seems like a lot for other sports, especially sports that had an entire season in front of them, unlike the NBA, which really just had to finish out a little bit of the regular season in the playoffs. But it is remarkable that especially for a sport that is played indoors, where there is a lot of contact between the players, they're breathing on each other, they're sweating on each other. If they wanted to keep these guys safe, it was going to require this level of just organization. And the fact that they did it is kind of crazy. And that's no one's celebrating here. They absolutely know that there could be a positive coronavirus test at some point, but they feel like even if that happens, they at least have sort of layers in place so that it doesn't spread throughout the entire bubble and they can continue.
Yeah, Rachel, I've been more impressed with the play on the court, though. To have this amount of time off, the 4 months off, and to come back and to just really be impressed at the way that teams came back and really had a bit of chemistry that I didn't think was even possible, especially with the circumstances of less practice, playing in a bubble, the backdrops. It just didn't feel right. And then all of a sudden I'm watching, I'm saying, it's almost as if they never really took time off the way that they've played. And I thought the product on the court has been fantastic as well.
Yeah, I don't want to say this too loudly, but there's an argument for contraction here, right?
Oh,
22 best teams.
Yeah.
You took the bottom eight out, maybe the quality of play would be better in the NBA. Yep. I mean, yeah, I think the fact it's an argument to the fact that players who thought that they had a shot in the playoffs, not even just to win it, but to make some noise, really worked hard over the shutdown. The level of discipline we saw from a lot of these players, and Ramona, you talked to so many of them over the months that passed here, just the fact that so many guys stayed ready or even improved. And I mean, we look at the Grizzlies and obviously they're not finishing right now quite where they thought that they would be. But, you know, Ja Morant basically treated it like the end of his rookie offseason and bulked up and got better. And that goes all the way to the vets like LeBron. We know how hard the Lakers core guys worked. And I think we've seen that across the board, that guys didn't really take this as like, oh, I'm just going to sit around on my couch and eat Pop-Tarts. That they were like, hey, we can come back at any time and we're going to stay ready. And they really did.
Rachel, what have you seen from the Lakers? I know you had, you know, one of their early games and caught Anthony Davis after the game in a sideline interview. But he hasn't been Anthony Davis night in and night out. Like, he's been really up and down for them. They've been experimenting with lineups. Is this just a team that's already sewn up the one seed and is experimenting and not trying not to get hurt? Or do they actually have some issues they need to work through?
They'll tell you it's the former. And, you know, all we can kind of do on that so far is believe them, right? You know, certainly it looks like it could be the fact that they were just experimenting and then it blocked up the number one seed and the sort of desire and effort went out and people are playing not to get hurt. So, like, that's certainly possible with the way they've been playing. We'll find out pretty quickly next week, though, if that's the case, especially if they do end up, and we don't know, but if they face a Blazers team that has that kind of veteran presence, that has that kind of shooting on the outside, we will find out if it's just sort of, you know, laziness, but just sort of late regular season doldrums like we would see even in a regular season, or if it's that there's just something not cohesive between them. And you know, I think that as we all predicted, right, they're feeling the loss of Avery Bradley, and they're a little bit trying to figure out who they are. I think Kyle Kuzma has been a nice surprise for them. Not that he should be a surprise, but at least he's been able to fulfill some of the promise that a lot of people have wanted from him. So hopefully he can continue that in the first round or two. But it's interesting to compare this to LeBron's Cleveland teams, where they really could use the first two rounds of the playoffs to almost play their way together.
Yeah.
And there would be ends of regular seasons where we would talk about their defensive rating and sort of the way they looked, and they didn't look cohesive, and is this going to be the year? And sure enough, even one of the years they got to the finals, they came within a bounce or two of losing in the first round in a 7-game series to Indiana. So it certainly happened, but they were able to make it through. The Lakers run, if things go chalk, and that's all I can look at right now, I can't predict upsets. So if things go chalk in the seedings, they would play that first round matchup, could be a tough Blazers team that's not a typical 8 seed. Then if they go chalk, they play the Rockets in the second round. They play the Clippers in the third, in the conference finals. And then again, if things go chalk, they play the Bucks in the finals with Giannis. So, like, I mean, that's a crazy hill to climb for this team. We'll have to see if they, you know, benefit from any upsets along the way, but that's a lot.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. It's if it does go chalk, but what about in the Eastern Conference? You mentioned it. If it goes chalk, we think about Milwaukee, but we know Giannis was suspended for a game. Obviously, he'll be back for the playoffs, but are we not talking much about Toronto? Even though they don't have Kawhi Leonard, we know that. But if it's anybody else besides the Milwaukee Bucks, is it the Toronto Raptors or is it possibly even Boston?
Yeah, we're talking a lot about Toronto on the jump. I mean, they're the defending champs, and you got to respect that. And also, just what they have pulled off this season, the growth that they have continued to see from guys like Pascal Siakam and just the cohesiveness and the confidence they have. How many teams, Ramona, have we seen where once they win that title, they just think of themselves differently? Kyle Lowry went years where he was beaten up in the media and certainly all across Canada for his, quote, playoff failures. And he came through to such a level last year. Yes, Kawhi Leonard, obviously finals MVP, but they don't come close to winning that series without Kyle Lowry. And you can tell his just whole demeanor is different this year. I think that's what we're seeing from them. They're going to be contenders in the East. The Celtics, I think, are contenders in the East. The Heat certainly think they're contenders in the East. I sat down with Jimmy Butler today. He thinks they can win the whole thing. I don't know how you guys think about that, but he absolutely believes it.
I believe that Jimmy Butler believes that. Yeah, I do. It's interesting. I was watching you. You had a report in the middle of one of these games. I can't remember which one because there's so many of them at this point. About James Harden and how he was training by running up and down the stairs at the hotel.
Yeah.
And at some point, somebody what happened? Somebody told him that was you're not allowed to do that.
Well, no, that he likes to run stadium steps. Or tennis steps, right? So that's okay. Normal training back in Houston.
Yeah.
And the problem is they sanitize the courts here in between games. And also, you're not allowed, if you're on the bottom level, the lower level, like we are here in the green part of the bubble, which is what they call it, you're not allowed more than up maybe 10 stairs up into the rest of the stadium, because from then all the way up to the top, they have blocked off the sort of the outer layer of the bubble, people who aren't quarantining in the same way but who are going to be in the arena for games. So if he was trying to run the arena steps, first of all, he'd be stopped after about 10 minutes because they got to clear the court. And second of all, it would be very tedious to run up and down just 8 or 9 individual steps and then back down again, maybe 3,000 times. Instead, he figured out that he could run up and down the steps at the team hotel, but the team hotel, it's these low Florida buildings. It's only 5 stories. So he's just going up and down, the 4 stories of steps. But, you know, he figured it out. And I think that is a lot of what is going on here in the bubble and overall.
Wow.
You know, these guys can't get to a practice court anytime they want, like they can at home. You know, Jimmy Butler decides at 11 p.m. he wants to get up shots in Miami. They open the court for Jimmy Butler. Well, he can't do that here. There's not a court that the Miami Heat have access to at all hours of the day. They have an assigned time. They go practice then, and that's it. So it's an adjustment for a lot of these guys. But as you guys said, the level of play has been high.
Speaking of
on the offensive end.
Yeah. Rachel, speaking of adjustments, not sure if you were a big fisher before you got to the bubble, or was this something that you've picked up on? Is this the new hobby now for Rachel Nichols, is being a fisherwoman, I should say?
Right. I do like fishing. It's something I'm not good at. It's like many things that I like to do. I both enjoy it and am not good at it. So that's a nice combination for me. And fishing, I think, is like golf, falls into that category. Something I really enjoyed doing and really are terrible at. But down here in the bubble, there's not that many things we can do. There's actually a pretty small area where we're even allowed to walk.
Yeah.
So they finally, after a couple of weeks, were like, oh, we have some bicycles you guys could bike around. But the place that we are allowed to go is so limited that I kind of feel like James Harden, maybe on those 8 or 9 steps, you kind of go in circles in the parking lot. So there's not that many things you can do. So when they offered us the chance to go fishing, I absolutely jumped at it. I went with two of our L.A. friends, Tanya Ganguly from the L.A. Times and Kyle Goon from the Orange County Register. We had a great time. Tanya was the fishing queen. She had 5 catches.
Wow.
I had 3 catches. I had 2 catches. It was my theory going into this fishing trip that there's only 1 fish in the Disney Lake, and the fish player was catching it and throwing it back, because come on, they all look like they're holding the same fish. But we did find evidence of multiple fish. So maybe there's 5 fish here in the Disney Lake. I don't know. But we all, you know, you catch them and then you throw them back. So I'm not sure how many there really are here. I think there's like a few fish who really like to be photographed, and they just jump in.
Rachel, I hope you're doing a book on this experience of being in the bubble. What time is the jump on these days? I feel like it moves around all the time. So tell the people what time they can catch you every day.
Exactly. We're pretty much solidly at your lunch hour from noon to 1. And, you know, I think depending on if there are live games, sometimes we're popping around to ESPN2 or something. But as we go forward here, we'll be there for you. And then we'll be there on some weekends, too, as your pregame show. So let's get started, man. Playoffs start on Monday.
Thanks, Rachel.
Thanks, guys. I'll talk to you soon.
Perfect. Oh, wow. Yeah, that's amazing. Catching the same fish over and over. I mean, you know, I have talked to some of my friends who were there in the bubble. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, like, I was having FOMO. Like, I was totally feeling like, oh, it's so sad. I can't, you know, I'm not there. I'm missing out. You know, I know that I know why I didn't go, but it still sucks when you see everybody else there. And they're like, no, literally, there's like, it's kind of like when you're in junior high and there's like a green patch in the middle of the schoolyard and like that's where everybody eats lunch.
Yeah.
They're like, that's the amount of room we have to move around in. Like, if you want to go and do your run there, you can do it. Everywhere else is off limits.
Everybody keeps saying it's like, it's a real true summer camp.
Yeah.
Like, you're a summer camp and you're inside and this is as far as you can go. So you're seeing everybody, you're doing all the same things, and after a while you just kind of get used to it.
All right, Kirk Morrison, Ramona Shelburne here. Coming up next, if you didn't already like Joe Kelly on the Dodgers for the way he handled that Astros situation a couple of weeks ago, you're going to want to hear what he had to say on a podcast this week on the feelings that he had about the Houston before even coming to the Dodgers. Coming up next, Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Funch, thank you. Funch is coming through for us. Chris Morales let us down. He didn't do anything special for me today. I want that getting back to him. Lynn, you going to make that happen?
Oh, yeah. I've already texted him about it.
Okay.
Perfect. There we go.
Ramona Shelver, Kirk Morrison in for Mason Ireland today on this Thursday. And we're starting to get a better sense of who the Lakers are going to play in the first round of the playoffs. The Memphis Grizzlies have knocked off the Milwaukee Bucks today, so they're going to be in the 8-9 game regardless. It's just a question of whether they're 8 or 9. If Portland wins tonight, Portland is the 8 seed. Memphis is the 9 seed, and they'd have to beat Portland twice. If Portland loses tonight, I think Portland is the 9 seed and Memphis is the 8 seed. And then Portland has to beat Memphis twice. So it's one of those two teams. The Suns are going to win this game against Dallas. So they're going to go 8-0 for the bubble, but not enough to get in. And the Spurs, who are going to tip off shortly here, have been eliminated because they needed everyone to lose for them to get in. So that actually ends the Spurs' 22-year playoff streak this year, which is staggering to think about. But I think that, you know, they'll take a good bubble performance and feel good about it on the way out. Kirk, yeah. I wanted to get into this Joe Kelly story here. I feel like he's been the story of the year for the Dodgers because they're not hitting and doing anything of note on that side. So unless you want to talk about how bad Cody Bellinger's been. But Joe Kelly obviously, you know, had some fun with the Astros. His 8-game suspension has been reduced to 5 now. And before, it's a good thing this took place before his suspension appeal was announced, he went on the Big Swing podcast with his teammate and had a conversation about what he really thought of the Houston Astros. Funch?
If they would say, hey, I was super scared, I didn't know what to do, I didn't want to be suspended from baseball, I don't want to lose money, I had a rep. Like, if you would say that and grow a pair of balls and say that to somebody, like me, if I was a snitch or bad, I'd be like, dude, I panicked. I didn't know what to say. Hey, my bad, bro. Like, I'm sorry. Like, I'll go do an interview and da da da. So until that happens, I don't know if it has, because I don't talk to those guys and I don't want to talk to those guys because they're not respectable men to me.
Mm. You know, Alex Cora, who was a beloved guy in baseball, is one of the managers who was fired.
Yes,
and Joe Kelly, former Red Sox manager, and he was in Houston back then. Mm-hmm. Kelly said, you know, why does Alex Cora go down and not the players?
I'm very passionate about this because I played for a manager. His name's Alex Cora. All this goes down. Everything goes down on Alex Cora. And this guy lost his job, which people knew the real story would actually hate the players even more. Ooh. I mean, this guy had to go back to Puerto Rico, where he's from. Daughter's taken out of junior high from American schools. because just getting verbally abused. Say, hey, dad's a cheater. Wow. Da, da, da. And Alex Cora is a great dude. And now Alex Cora is sitting in Puerto Rico with his family, and I'm sure he still gets shit.
Yeah. It's real.
That's interesting to me because, you know, we heard a lot of that coming in to the season of just sort of how players around the game felt about the Astros and, you know, whether they cheated and whether they deserve that World Series. But this isn't just talking about stealing pitches. This isn't just about banging on trash cans. This is talking about players who basically told on their managers, told on the Astros organization in order to get immunity. This is about how the players on the Astros behaved during the investigation of the Astros. And that is something I think baseball is never really going to be able to reconcile, because once you've given immunity to the Astros players for doing this, you can't go back on it.
Yeah, you can't. And because now you got guys like Joe Kelly who are trying to police and do the job that Major League Baseball was supposed to do. See, Rob Manfred basically put this bullseye on the Houston Astros all season long. And trust me, there is not a team in baseball besides, I think, everyone else understanding that no one likes the Houston Astros right now currently because they're cheaters. They altered the way that you play the game, right? I've said this many of times. When you cheat the game and you cheat other players, especially when it comes to money, finances, family, people's lives were changed because of what you did. And there was no consequences for the guys who did it. And that's the hard part I think guys have to deal with. And so, yeah, people are throughout this season, I think this is still going to keep on going. I mean, I watched it last Saturday watching the Houston Astros and the Oakland Athletics play,
mm-hmm.
right? And seeing that fiasco, that's going to continue to happen, because what I saw from Houston, man, like that to me, like I don't know if Clayton Kershaw will ever get the opportunity again, Ramona. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, here's a career in which we've compared this man to Sandy Koufax, right? Like, this is his legacy.
Mm-hmm.
And yet him giving up a home run in one of the more important games of the World Series, and a lot of it has to do with the other team knowing what pitch was coming. And here we are ridiculing and criticizing Clayton Kershaw. He can't win the big one. Oh, playoff Kershaw again. And yet the team cheated. Like, those memories are still in my mind. They won't go away. But to think that these other guys had no consequences – that's where I thought baseball really, really – I mean, at least suspend them 50 games, suspend them half the season, whatever it may be, but give them some type of punishment. But to give them full-on immunity, that's where Rob Manfred, you know, messed up. And guys like Joe Kelly, you say, you know what, I'll take matters into my own hands. I'll take care of this. And that's why I applaud him, and especially now by him speaking out. He's not scared to speak out. I think some guys mm-hmm. are like, oh, let it go. But no – it affected a lot of people. And to hear these stories about how it affected people's families, that pull is even tighter, you know, for a lot of people, because that hits home.
Mm. Kirk, coming up next, Sean McVay is already going to be the star of Hard Knocks. We've watched one episode, and I think people want to cast him already as the next Monday Night Football host because he's so fun to watch. But he revealed a little something about training camp culture that only you can answer. Where is it appropriate to go number two? We get into that. We come back. Ramona Shelburne, Kirk Morrison, we're here with you on Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. Momo! Kirk Morrison in for Mason and Ireland today. They're on they're moving back to middays, and they just felt like taking a couple days off or something, I guess. John's going to Idaho. Mason's like off, wherever Mason goes. And it got me, thinking, Where do you go, Kirk? Because when you're out on a football field, and I've only experienced this as a reporter, okay? Like, I used to cover high school football, and I would keep stats on the sideline, running up and down, and you can't miss any plays because you'll miss the stats. So, like, if you got to go number one, you could hold it real good. If you got to go number two, you're like, oh, I got to be a big girl. I got to wait till halftime. And then you got to try to, like, beat the halftime rush. But what happens to players? You know, you're out on the field and you're playing. And on the first episode of Hard Knocks, Rams coach Sean McVay gave us a little insight.
Hey, and also, don't be the guy that takes the porta potties. All right, I went in there, I about threw up. All right, have a little bit more social awareness. That's to take a don't take a in the porta potties. All right,
somebody's in the porta potty. We got to start putting the camera on the porta potty. See who's in there. Somebody a part of the Hard Knocks crew in the porta potty.
Is that like forbidden? Is that like the porta potties are out there as like bathroom of last resort? Or like what's the scoop?
All right, the scoop is this. So for a lot of people who don't know where the Rams practice at Cal Lutheran over in Thousand Oaks, the Rams actually have a makeshift practice facility, right? They're still practicing and doing meetings out of portables that were all installed back in 2016.
Okay.
When the Rams first came back to when they came back to Los Angeles. And so when they have a camp, they do put in these porta potties. And now with the whole social distancing, all the COVID-19 protocols, and they put in all these new restrooms on the outside so that people, because before, Ramona, media could go into a certain room that was attached, right? There was a media room.
Okay.
And now that media room has kind of been taken away because you're going to use that room for the players for more of the meeting space. And so now all you have some of these porta potties on the outside, and I think people have been using them. Now, full disclosure here, maybe TMI, but story time. Ramona, you ready?
Yeah, I am. Lindsay, are you though? Just, you know.
Oh, I'm ready.
You ready?
Okay.
So story time for me, being in the National Football League for 8 years, Ramona, you have to know what the schedule of the day is. Okay, and the schedule is literally, it's printed out. It's everywhere inside the facility, inside the building. So you know, like, what's going on for that day, okay? You know what time are the meetings. You know what time is walkthrough, what time is actual lunch and practice and things like that. But what's not on there that you have to pencil in there is bathroom time. Mm. You have to find a time to find a bathroom or go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
Because once you go out on that field, you're not coming back in, right? You just hopefully I'm not giving any people even more of this reality of, but once you put all those pads on, Ramona, I'm not trying to take all those pads off to go back in and take care of business. And
it's kind of like when you go
put
swimming.
It back on. Like, no, I would have to go take a shower if I'm going to go back out. It was just too much. But for me, especially when I was with the Oakland Raiders for 5 years, Ramona, I literally cased out the entire facility one time. When I say cased out, I felt like I was about to rob the joint at one point. But I cased out the entire facility to a point where I found it.
Oh,
I found,
you got your spot.
I found the spot. I found the bathroom. I found my one bathroom that no one knew about, that was just kind of hidden off. It was ducked off. A lot of guys used the main bathrooms and all that. But this was like I almost used to call it my office, because I would spend a lot of the day there when I had free time, right? Because it was not just
you would do your texting.
Everything. Because it wasn't just a place to just use the restroom. It was like a quiet space, especially when you got to think, when you're around, and right now, Rams training camp, 80 players on the roster. Then you talk about coaching staff, all the different, you know, administrative staff.
Yeah.
It's a lot of people. So to find just a quiet space in a long day, yes.
Yeah.
But that's the reason why I tell the story, is that you have to budget your time to make sure you
get
your potty break in. Because once you're done with that, it's practice time. Now, I've known guys that say, look, coach, I ate something at lunch, and you got to go take care of business. But you don't want to be that guy, Ramona, that has to tell Coach McVay, like, Coach McVay, hey, where's Aaron Donald? Hey, Coach, got to tell you, hey, Aaron Donald, he's in the bathroom taking a number two. So, like, that's not going to fly with coaches sometimes. Maybe for Aaron Donald, before an undrafted rookie or a younger player,
You just got to hold it.
You got to hold it make sure you take care of it before.
I do sidelines on the NBA Finals for ESPN Radio. Mm. And you're on. right? Like, you're on the air, like, the entire game. So if you got to go, you got to make sure you get some kind of potty break in before the game starts. And then you got halftime. And our issue was always when we were at the Raptors facility, well, not the Raptors, when we were at the Warriors Oracle Arena, there really isn't a lot of options. There's like this, there's like these, this one bathroom, like when you come right off the court where the teams go to their locker rooms, there's just two single stall bathrooms. So there's a men's room and a women's room, but like there's so many dudes there that they just start using the ladies' room. And I'm like, hey, now, hey, okay. Like, I understand there's more of you than of me, but hey, welcome to our world, right? This is normally the opposite for us. Okay. But I'm doing sidelines. So when I run off the court, it's me, Doris Burke. And it's there's a team reporter for whichever teams are in there. So Kareth Burke up there in Sacramento, or it's in San Francisco, right? Or Golden State. Okay. So there's like just three of us ladies. And so we got to follow the teams in off the court, and you head straight for that restroom because that's your time. If you get there too late, there's a bunch of dudes lined up for your women's room. And I think the like law of the jungle is you go number one. Like, it's not kosher to go number two in there when you know there's a whole line of people that are coming in there afterwards, and it's probably going to take you quite a little bit longer to go number two.
Yeah.
So, I know what Sean McVay's talking about there. I get that.
It's the same thing even when I do a 10 games, right? When you have this whole entire line. And and I don't know about what's going on in the women's restroom, Ramona, but I know in the men's restroom, you know, everybody's been drinking some beer, so they're trying to relieve themselves, you know, crack the seal, and it's just...
They don't even have the best aim, right?
Yeah, it's just... But then there's always a couple guys who just have to go to the bathroom, because the stall should be open. But there's always a couple guys that just have to... They just got to go, man. And don't go into a port... Like, I don't know about you, but Ramona, porta potties actually freak me out. Even if I go to, like, the county... The fairs and the festivals, like... Like, I will just hold it. Like, I just, there's something about porta potties. Like, I had this nightmare that I was going to fall in one day. Like, that's. And then I've seen movies and stuff where I forgot what movie it was where the guy was trapped in there.
Bad things happen in there.
He was trapped in there, and then, like, just the all.
I don't know if you watched Breaking Bad, but there was a famous porta potty scene in one of the early episodes. Yeah. Look. All I'm going to say, and we have gone way past TMI on this, right? But all I'm going to say about porta potties and number two, I don't want to deal with the splash, okay? I can't deal with any kind of splash.
Yeah.
And we're going to leave it at that.
What time are we breaking? Because I think I got to take a shower. I'm about to go take a shower right now.
At least wash your hands. Ramona Shelburne, Kirk Morrison, in for Mason in Ireland. Coming up next, The Scoop, top of the hour. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.